Well, I want to greet all of you around the world who are taking part in this course on spiritual gifts by DVD. And you're joined by those in the classroom who are also going through this course along with you. There is a community of learners worldwide. In the last session, we talked about the gift of wisdom. And we said that there was worldly wisdom, there was wisdom from above. And that the difference is worldly wisdom is based on facts and information. It's like getting a college degree. You have a bunch of information. It doesn't do you any good until you can apply it in your life, in the larger world, typically on the job. Well, worldly wisdom is wisdom that comes from God and is applied to a practical situation requiring spiritual truth. And typically, it's the person who others come to for advice. Typically, it's those who are able to solve issues, resolve conflict, deal with problems. Well, we're going to move on in session 20 here to the spiritual gift of discernment. I was not able to come here, as I mentioned in an earlier session, because I had fallen down some stairs and I hurt my knee very badly. I couldn't even walk. I was using crutches. They had given me this flexible cast that immobilized my whole leg so I couldn't bend it in order to make sure that I didn't do more damage than I'd already done. And so in order to see what was the extent of the damage, the doctors wanted me to have an x-ray. Well, that makes sense. I went in and they took the x-ray and they said, you know, we can see some problems here, but we really can't tell what the real issues are. You need to go take a more intensive x-ray called an MRI. An MRI is a huge machine, and it's like a tube. And in the center, there's a circle, and the patient goes into that circle in the middle. And if you have claustrophobia, if you are afraid of being in confined spaces, it is not the place to be. Because there's like a millimeter between you and the ceiling when they bring you in there. Fortunately, I didn't have the claustrophobia. And I joked around and said, would you like me to clean in here while I'm here? They said, no, it's clean, it's fine. And then it whirls and twirls. There's all these noises and you're wondering what's going on. And they'll say, all right, don't breathe. Breathe. And later, it was all worthwhile because I got together with the doctor and he looked at these pictures, and he knew exactly what was wrong. He knew exactly what the treatment was. And more remarkably, I could look at the MRI results, and I could see where there were problems. And I'm not a trained medical person. Why? It's because the X-ray only gives two dimensions. The MRI gives a three-dimensional view. It shows it action as it actually is. And you can turn it this way and move it this way and look down this way. And I could see where the damage was and that the damage wasn't so significant that I'd never be able to walk again. Instead, they put me through some physical therapy and basically told me, take a lot of aspirin and you'll be fine. And over a period of time, it's healed enough where it only causes some pain periodically when I do a lot of walking. But the MRI is a perfect example of the spiritual gift of discernment. That gift is like taking an x-ray inside a person or putting them in the MRI machine and being able to see exactly what's happening within them. Now, I don't mean see like your knee's bad, you know, your arm. I think you got arthritis in your arm. What I mean is they can look at you and they can tell, are you telling the truth or are you lying? Are you being motivated by selfish things or do you have the greater good in mind? Are you motivated by evil or by good? And they know it. People I know who have this gift, they tell me it is a very scary gift to have. It's like you can literally see inside the person and you can tell like that what is really going on with them. And I will talk about some people who have that gift later, whom I know personally, who tell me some fascinating stories about times that God had made them aware of someone who had the wrong motives, and they protected the church as a result. It is like an early warning system that danger ahead. Be careful. This person is not who they say they are. This person is lying. And as a result, the church doesn't go through some difficult times. Well, the Greek word is diakrisis. Diakrisis. It is Strong's G1253. And the definition is just three words: to distinguish between. To look at two and be able to tell them apart. And the meaning is a distinguishing, a discerning, a judging, an ability to make separate, an ability to make distinctions, and to clearly distinguish the truth from error by judging whether the behavior is from God, Satan, or human error, or even human power. That comes from ministry tools. It also is the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, good or evil, to know if the source, the meaning, the intentions are true, pure, right, and godly, or whether they are come from the person themselves and are selfish, or whether they come from Satan and they are evil. As I told you before, this is a scary gift. Very important, though, but one that really would be cause for some anxiety as you look at people and you can tell. I can just imagine because I don't have the gift. What's the purpose of this gift in the body of Christ? Very simple: to protect it from harm. That's why, as I've mentioned, my church requires the elders to have the gift of discernment, because they need to know, are people on the up and up or is there something wrong here? And because they have that gift, our church is going to celebrate in 1 month its 35th anniversary. And there has never once been a scandal in the church. There has never once been a division that ripped the church apart. And I attribute it 100% to godly elders who, having the gift of discernment, probably countless times, more than I could ever know, have protected the church from possible harm because of people's wrong motives. We've talked about the fact that all gifts fall within certain categories. We call them roles in the church. And as we've mentioned, they are founding a church, instructing a church, caring for a church, managing the church, and bringing a special message the church needs to hear. The gift of discernment is clearly caring for the church, because in using the gift, the church remains healthy and strong and vibrant and doesn't experience pain or hardship or difficulty or intense disagreement. Going to the commentaries, I'm using two commentators I've used in the past. Chuck Smith, he says simply, there are many spirits in the world that have gone out and are not of God. There are many spirits that have gone out into the world and are not all from God. My view is, this is very clear from some passages in Scripture. Jesus says, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And what he means is, in the Bible, sheep typically are a metaphor for the children of God. We're like sheep. And by the way, it isn't a very nice compliment, because sheep are among the dumbest animals in the world. They need constant guidance. Then again, maybe it is a good metaphor for people. And wolves would be, I get this view of a wolf taking the skin of a sheep and putting it over them and walking around inside the church and pretending, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I know all the songs, I know all the verses, but they're not really a Christian. And they're there to cause harm. They're there to break things apart. They may have evil motives. It may just be selfish motives. But they are not true Christians. Jesus warned us of that. And then we are warned by Paul constantly to beware of false teachers. People who are presenting a message, are teaching a class, who in some way, shape, or form have a role of standing before people and explaining the Word of God, but doing so falsely. Gift of discernment would be a mighty good gift to have, to be able to tell, does this line up with the Word of God or not? Is this true according to the doctrines of the Christian faith, or is this person totally off base and leading us down a path that isn't the path of God? David Gusick, who I've mentioned a number of times, he writes, the person with this gift can tell the difference between true and false doctrine, the example I just gave, and what is of the Holy Spirit and what is not. Remember, even Satan appears as an angel of light, yet he deceives with false yet tempting messages. So we've got three metaphors the Bible uses to remind us there are people in your midst that you need to beware of. Don't trust the fact that everybody who goes to your church is a Christian. They're not. Chances are in a church, there's one, two, in my church of 30,000, probably many, who are not Christians and who are there for false motivations. The three that we get are sheep's and wolf clothing, false teachers, and Satan, who appears as an angel of light. You know, in the world, we sometimes see this picture of Satan, you know, and he's got horns on and he's dressed in red and he's evil face and he's carrying a pitchfork. That's not the picture the Bible presents of Satan. It says that Satan is beautiful. Satan looks handsome, attractive, beautiful. Someone that people would not be repulsed by. They wouldn't look at him and say, hey, look at those horns. Man, I'm not going by that person. Instead, Satan knows how to kind of blend in and even stand above where people would admire Satan. And Satan can work through people and lead them, help them to be used to lead others to false and misleading yet tempting messages. It is interesting that in Isaiah 53, where it's the great passage talking about the coming of the Messiah, it says there was nothing about the Messiah that you would have looked at and gone, it's the Messiah. That he would be comely. In other words, not very attractive. That you wouldn't look at him and say, he's a good-looking man. Which tells us that Jesus, he didn't stand out in a crowd. He wasn't one that people looked at and they knew, there's something about him. He's too good-looking. He's too powerful. He's too strong. He's a man. Satan, beautiful. Jesus, comely. Not necessarily ugly, just not beautiful.
Have you benefited from our teaching ministry? Have you found TVS videos helpful and relevant? Please consider supporting us with your prayers and financial gifts. For more information, visit tvsseminary.com.
Well, we've used visual aids to try to help us gain a picture of what these gifts are like when they're used in the body. And the one I want you to think of here is a smoke detector. All right, in every building in my country, you must have a smoke detector that can detect the presence of a fire and present a loud warning, actually a very annoying sound, so that people hear it, they know there's a problem, and they get out of the house before the smoke comes and knocks them unconscious. A smoke detector isn't about saving the building. It's about saving the people. And the gift of discernment isn't about saving the church building so that it can continue to be used. It's about saving the church people from harm. What's the purpose of the smoke detector? It's to get the people out, away from danger. The gift of discernment is where the Holy Spirit empowers those to distinguish between what's of God and what's not of God. And like a smoke detector, they can sense that there is danger, that someone is spreading false doctrines, that someone is teaching wrong doctrine, and that somebody has motives that are not pure. And then when they detect it, they sound the alarm, and the church is protected as people step in. Unfortunately, there are many churches that do not value this gift and do not use this gift and do not honor those people with this gift. Why? Because they're complaining about somebody. He's teaching wrong stuff. You know, he's not acting like a Christian. Blah, 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 blah. And people just stop paying attention to that. It is the wise church that honors, believes in, and follows the advice of people with the gift of discernment. And many churches have split because they haven't used the gift of discernment to protect the body. A body that recognizes the importance of the spiritual gift of discernment is like having a protective bubble around it, where no harm can come to it because the Holy Spirit is on duty, working through people with that gift, ensuring that the church is safe. Well, we've looked at biblical examples. Let's go there now. Would you open up to the book of Acts in chapter 5? As I have mentioned before, Acts is filled with stories. The whole book is the story of the early church. And so throughout it, we can see examples of the gifts being used by a variety of people, which then allow us to understand what the gift means and how it operates in the church. Let's start with verse 1, and we'll read this whole story so that we understand the gift of discernment, down to verse 11. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. Previously, a man named Barnabas had sold property, given the money to the church, and then that had been used to help provide for the poor. Ananias and Sapphira had seen this, and they sold their property. Starting with verse 2 now. With his wife's full knowledge, he, meaning Ananias, kept back part of the money for himself. But he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down dead. Boom. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife, Sapphira, came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that's the price." And Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." And at that moment, she fell down dead at his feet and died. The young men came in and, finding her dead, carried out and buried her beside her husband. And once again, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. I guess so. If I heard about these events, I'd be a little scared too. I mean, these guys, they lied. They tried to present themselves as something they were not. They thought, hey, we could just keep back a little money for ourselves. And we could still get people saying, "Oh, what good people you are. You gave money to the poor." And we'd still have a little bit. And as Peter said, they were lying not to men, but to God. Well, this is a wonderful example of the gift of discernment. How in the world would Peter have known that they sold the land and kept some money for themselves, except that the Spirit of God told him? It's an example of how the Spirit, which is God, who is God, knows everything. How do you think you could lie to the Spirit? He knows it all. And so as a result, this was used to protect the church so these people didn't falsely pretend that they were good, righteous Christians that everybody should admire and respect. It was a pretty stiff penalty, don't you think, for doing something like this? Why would God do that? I think he wanted to make a point in the early church. Don't lie to the Spirit. Be who you are. Walk with God. Don't do things selfishly. And as a result, every time there's great fear, the church actually grows. And so as a result, this was used for good. People got a wake-up call and realized, hey, this is serious business. And there are people among us who can discern our motives. And I'm going to walk the walk and talk the talk and make sure that I don't lie to the Spirit. Well, I have a personal example from my family. My son John is 30 years old and he works for our church. He works in the children's ministry, which we call Promised Land. And in that ministry, he's responsible for the operations of the church, of that ministry. He makes sure that they have the supplies, they have the teachers, they have the schedules, they have the rooms, all of the things that need to be done other than having the teachers trained and presenting. That's his job. And one of his jobs is to interview any person who has volunteered to work in Promised Land. Now, as in most countries, America takes our children very seriously. They love their children. They want to protect their children. They want to make sure no harm comes to their children. Children basically are defenseless. They're gullible. They believe anything. And we want to make sure that we protect them. So my son John interviews them. And he has the gift of discernment. Anyone who interviews in a church should have the gift of discernment. And he said, "Dad, this man came to me, and I interviewed him, and within the first 10 seconds, I knew he was a child molester. I don't know how I knew it. He was a pedophile. He loved to take little boys and do things inappropriate with him. And he said, "Dad, I was scared to death. I thought, how could this man be a child molester?" So in our country, we have child molesters listed online. And you can go to that site and you can see, is there anybody who's ever been arrested for molesting children? Guess what? The man was on the list. And because of the gift of discernment used by my son under the influence of the Spirit, children in our ministry were protected. Imagine what might have happened had someone interviewed him who didn't have that gift. He may very well have come into the ministry for the sole purpose of doing things absolutely evil, sinful. And God worked through my son, as he works through others with the gift of discernment, to ensure that the truth was known about this man. And that as a result, he was not allowed to come into the church and to harm people. That's the gift of discernment. And so now, as I've done before, I have some questions for you. And you ask these questions of yourself, and as you answer the questions for yourself, notice whether it's something that God has done in your life previously as you've worked in the church, or whether it's something you would enjoy doing as you work in the church. Question one, has God worked through you to, one, know when someone is telling the truth or lying and you don't know how you know it? Number two, has God worked through you to sense that something or someone is not right? There is good or evil, right or wrong, present in the person. And number three, has God worked through you to be able to know the inner motives of a person? The why of what they want to do. If you've answered yes to any one of those questions, you may in fact have the gift of discernment. And although I've said that this is a scary gift, and my son told me, "Dad, sometimes I wish I didn't have this gift. I don't know that I want to know the things I know about people." It is a vital gift in the church of God. I mean, it can protect the church from so much harm, so much evil, so much wandering away from the Word. Let us honor the people who have these gifts. Let's put them in situations where, in fact, they are the gatekeepers. They are the people who protect the doors, the ones who interview the staff, the ones who are in charge of new members in a congregation, the ones in our children's ministry who are responsible for volunteers. There are countless situations where there is an open door into the church that someone with false motives, someone with selfish motives, someone with evil motives wants to enter and harm the church. And God has given us a defense system, an early warning system. The body is like this, the human body. We've talked about the body of Christ, the human body. When something enters your body that's going to harm your body, germs, bacteria, viruses, we have a defense system. We have white blood cells. And those white blood cells, they detect there's the presence of something evil here, something harmful, and they race to the scene. And they make sure that they don't let it hurt the body by putting out the virus, the bacteria, whatever, before it causes harm. Well, in the same way, we have people in our church who perform this vital deed. And I'm grateful to God for them. And I hope you are too. So please join us next time as we continue our journey on spiritual gifts. Thank you for joining us.